Today's shiur is Le'ilui Nishmas Taibel Bas Yosef Leib, Sylvia Luftglass, whom those who knew never saw her get angry. We're on Shmuel Aleph, Perek Zayin. The Aron was sent back to Eretz Yisrael. The Plishtim suffered enough. They sent it back. And then it went to Beis Shemesh. And over there, the Yidden didn't act properly, and there was a blow. Many people were nifter, great people. And the question was, what to do with the Aron now? Again, the beginning of Perek Zayin, Vayavo Anshe Kiryas Yorim. The men of Kiryas Yorim came. It seems to imply they all came. It doesn't say Me Anshe, it seems to say they all came. Vayalu es Aron Hashem, they brought up the Aron back to their city. Vayaviu oso, and they brought the Aron El Beis Avinodov, to the house of Avinodov, Bagiva, in a high place on a hill. After what had happened, you know, it was like people assumed it could be it's the Aron. The Plishtim suffered so much in all these different cities. And then the Aron was brought back to Beis Shemesh, and then there was a tremendous blow and a punishment. It took somebody to get up and say it has nothing to do with the Aron, Chas V'Shalom. The Aron itself is a source of bracha. It's people weren't acting properly. And if we act properly, the Aron will be a source of blessing. And that's what happened with the people of Kiryas Yaron. They came and they brought up the Aron, and they brought it al Beis Avinodov Bagiva, to the place of Avinodov on a high place. It's interesting, there's a din brought down in Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Hilchas Beis HaKnesses in Simen Kuf Nun Sif Beis. It says, Ein bonin Beis HaKnesses el begovu shel ir, that a shul, when it's built, should be built on the high place of the city. And when they build the shul, they build it it should be higher than all the houses of the city, the houses that are used. As we're not counting if somebody has a steeple or something, a pole coming up from his building, but it should be higher than all the floors, the highest building, higher than the other floors that are being used. On that the Ramah says, Hagah uvishas hadachak, when things are difficult, it's not possible. Oshiyesh mitzvahs malchus. A lot of times it was a decree from the government that you weren't allowed, you know, the zoning laws, you weren't allowed to build a shul high up. She'enu Hashem livinos beis haknesses kedino, mutali spalav abayis, so you can daven in a regular house, alfa bishadarin ba'ali al gabov, even if people are living on the higher floor. Uvavad she'inagu ba'ilim she'olav binikiyus. As long as the people living above treat it in a clean manner, you know, it's used for whatever, it's used in a bakovadika way. And that the Ramah mentions, he says, V'yesh makom ha'sheni yizharim, because there are places where they're not careful to build a shul on the high place and make it the highest building. Because for achroinim, that the reason is because there are many houses of the goyim that are higher than the shul anyways. It's not possible to make it higher than the Goyim, especially, you know, the Goyim Lahavdil used to make their churches, whatever, it should be the highest building. So even if you make the shul the highest of the Jewish houses, it's still not noticeable that the shul is the highest. But a person should be careful as much as possible. The Gemara discusses the importance of a person, the shul should be the high place where possible. But that was an idea that was over here when they brought the Aron. The pasuk stresses vayaviu oso beis avinodav bagiva. First, they brought it to like a hill that was built on a high place. I remember in Eretz Yisrael when I was learning in Bayit Vegan, there was a street there, Rehov Hapiska, which also means like a high place. And on that street, the high place was, there was a shul, the Grosh shul, and the Hasidim had a minion, had a, one floor was the Hasidim, one was the Grosh. But that shul was the highest place in the town. But that implies when a person's building a shul, obviously, as the Ramah says, well, it's not possible. Just make sure the building on top should conduct themselves properly. And they built the Aron El Beis Avinodav Bagivu on the high place. Veselozer Beno Kitshu. And they designated, they designated Elozer, the son of Avinodav, Lishmor Aron Hashem, to guard the Aron. Now, it wasn't like they were afraid of any attack. Nobody was coming to steal the Aron. The guard was simply pushed out of respect, out of kavod. Like you find a similar out of honor, right? There's a mitzvah in the Torah. By the Beis HaMikdash, one of the mitzvahs was that they had to have shomrim guards. And the Mefarshim say, because it's not daima, a palace that has guards and a palace that doesn't have guards. Out of respect, it's proper that there should be a guard. And that's what they did in the Beis Avinodav. The function of, so what did he do the whole day? He swept and he cleaned up. But you see from there, I guess that was the first shamus to keep the place in order. So even though we don't talk about it too much, but there was a great stress here that the brachas that came as a result of the Aron were the fact that it was conducted with such a dignity and decorum and respect. In fact, I saw the Me'am Lois brings down from the Chachmi Ashkenaz. He says that when the Aron was in Kiryas Yorin, all of a sudden there was an increase in the birth rate. The women were giving birth to six at one time. And he says because corresponding to the plague where they suffered with the mice, the Plishtim, when the Aron was there, they suffered with the mice. Seems to say the mice have six mice in each litter. In each litter. Litter. In each litter, they have six mice. So, corresponding to that, Klai Yisrael now had the Aron, and of course they treated it with the proper respect. They were given a bracha that each one had six children at a time. So, Vayihiv miyom sheves ha'aron v'kiryas ya'aron. From the time that the Aron was residing in Kiryas Ya'aron, Vayirbu ayomim, the days increased, time went on, Vayu esrim shana, till it was a full 20 years. And a lot was going on in these 20 years. Vayinohu kol beis Yisrael achrei Hashem. All of Klal Yisrael, vayinohu. Either it means they all gathered, they were drawn after Hashem. Rashi brings a few pshat. The more vayinohu could mean they were like wailing and crying. They felt tremendous remorse about the way they had been acting previously. Or vayinohu could mean that they all gathered together as a group and they wanted to serve Hashem. These 20 years, a lot happened. There were 11 years that Shmuel was the leader of Klal Yisrael. There were 2 years that Shaul was the king. And then there were 7 years that David HaMelech was the king in Hebron before he came to Yerushalayim to rule over all of Klal Yisrael. So there were different leaders, different tzaddikim. And it was 20 years, it was a long time. But during the span of these 20 years, Shmuel was obviously going around, and we'll see later on how he was going around and judging the people and correcting them. And there was a tremendous hisayrus. Now, 20 years is a long time, but nowadays, in general, I remember Rav Pam used to speak in the shmooze about how when there's an eis rotzen, just to, I guess, digress for a moment, Rav Pam used to mention that you notice after the Churban, people felt Mashiach was going to be coming imminently. And that was the whole story behind Bar Kokhba's rebellion, and Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach, because Klal Yisrael felt that after a blow like the Churban, the Yeshua must be coming very soon. Now Bar Kokhba was a few decades later, but in the time span of history, that was, Klal Yisrael felt it was, that's right afterwards, the Eis Ratzon after such a blow would be an opportune time for Mashiach. He mentioned similarly by the Spanish Inquisition, which was at the end of the 1492. A few decades later in Sfas, all the Chachamim, the Beis Yosef was there, the Arizal, Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, who wrote the Lechah Dodi, Rav Moshe Alshich, they had a group of Chachmei Yisrael and Tzadikim, And they also felt now is the time for Mashiach after all that Klal Yisrael went through. And even though the Chachamim there were involved with reinstituting the Sanhedrin, was a major tumult in Halacha. Is it possible to reinstitute the Sanhedrin with 70 Zakenim? And even the Lecha Dodi was written at that time, and all of the Kapitluch, Ariad Yish Ben Partzi, and Yismuchav Nagila, and Hisnari Meyofar Kumi, you can see the yearning for Mashiach, shake off, you know, the Golos, and it's time for the Geula. Even though it was decades later. So Rapam used to say, you know, with us, World War II and what happened then, the Holocaust, it already seems to be, you know, a lot has happened since then. It seems to be way back. But in the perspective of time, when you're dealing with thousands of years, the truth is it's still an Eis Rotzen. In other words, now it's a time that's Mesugal. In other words, it's as if we're still living right after the Holocaust. It's close enough. A few decades is not much time in the Jewish outlook on life. These 20 years, and as people are still thinking, they still felt as if the Oren had just been taken by the Plishtim, and the Plishtim had suffered in their different cities, and then it was brought here, and in Kiryas in Beis Shemesh they suffered, and then in Kiryas Yorim there was a bracha. But over the span of 20 years, it wasn't like the news became old news and stale, but it became more and more inspiring. Shmuel traveled around and he was teaching the people. And during the span of these 20 years, people felt a stronger and a closer connection to Hashem. Vayomer Shmuel. So Shmuel said, "Kol Beis Yisrael Leimer," to all of the Yidden. He said to all of them, he traveled all around and he got in touch with all of Klal Yisrael. "Im b'chol levavchem atem shovim el Hashem." If with your whole heart you're returning to Hashem, "Hasiru es Elohei hanechor mitoichichem." You got to remove the foreign idols. Mitoichichem, from within you. And the Mephorshim noticed from there that it could mean like the Gemara says in Shabbos, what's the Avodah Zorah that's inside a person? It means the fact that he's controlled by his Yetzirah. What Shmuel was saying, you gotta clean out your insides. You gotta purify yourself for Hashem. V'ho ashtoros is a different type of idol. In other words, get rid of the physical vestiges of idolatry, and also remove all of those your inward feelings of avodah zarah. Rav Chanan Wasserman writes, in fact, nowadays we don't have the yitzhara of avodah zarah. You don't find people feel a strong desire to worship a nonsense idol. But he writes to get an appreciation of what Avodah Zarah is like. We all know that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to have, he's going to have. And a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make a person wealthy, and one the next minute he's poor. And a person's fortunes can change from minute to minute. A person who feels, this is just to give an idea. Now, as a person, of course, a person makes his shtadlus, and you plan for the future, and, you know, he's not, that's not wrong. That's the way a regular person should be that way. But to get a feeling, he writes, if a person believes that he has got money in the bank, so he's secure. And if he doesn't have money in the bank, he doesn't feel secure. He said that's to give it a little bit of a picture of an idea of like Avodah Zarah. In other words, you know, the money in the bank doesn't make a difference. If Hashem wants a guy to be poor, the money will be gone tomorrow. But yeah, you still feel like, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, but Bederech HaTeva, and you always feel more secure if you have Pas Pasal, or you have something to back on, you have an account. So the same thing with Avodah Zarah, they felt there were certain things that could help and control, and it doesn't mean you find that they worshipped Hashem, and at the same time they had idols. And he writes the same thing with everything else. If a person believes democracy will help the world, or socialism, or communism, or nationalism, or Zionism, or rights. If anybody has any belief that something else will like help, and something else will benefit him besides Hashem, it's a little bit of a feeling of what Avodah Zarah is like. As these people, Klal Yisrael at that time worshipped Hashem, they all worshipped Hashem, but there was a Yetzihara for Avodah Zarah, and somehow the Yetzihara for Avodah Zarah was that type of feeling, that something else could help, and that feel more secure with that in addition to serving Hashem. But now Shmuel said to all of them, if you return to Hashem with your whole heart, and you remove the Avodah Zarahs, But that's not enough. It's not enough sur meira to get rid of the bad. V'hochinu levavchem al Hashem. You have to prepare your heart for Hashem. V'ivdu, in other words, you got to prepare yourself for the future. You have to engender the type of feeling and set things up that you'll be receptive to avodas Hashem. V'ivdu levado, and then in action, you got to serve Hashem alone. So if you purify the past and you prepare yourself for the future to be inspired in avodas Hashem, and you actually do the v'ivdu levado, v'yatzla eschem yad plishtim. Hashem will save you for the plishtim. You don't have to worry about the plishtim giving any tzaras for Klal Yisrael. Dalit. Vayasiru b'nei Yisrael sa ba'olim v'esho ashtoros. Klal Yisrael removed the ba'olim and the ashtoros. Some Mefarshim point out there were different avodah zaras that were called Baal. There was Baal Zvuv and there was Baal Ekron. Ba'olim could mean there were different idols that came under that class of ba'olim. Baal normally means like a Baal Abayis, is the owner, the boss, the ruler over the house. Baal means somebody who has a power. Baal Abayis. So Esaba'olim means the idols that they felt had some control over them. They removed the Baalim and the Ashtaros, Vayavdu as Hashem Levado, and they served Hashem alone. And a lot of what I'm saying here is from the Malbim, that the Malbim mentions that, in other words, they purify their hearts also, but the Navi mentions what was evident to any onlooker. It was noticeable that Klal Yisrael got rid of the idols and now they were devoted exclusively for Avodas Hashem. Vayomer Shmuel. So Shmuel said, Kivsu es Kol Yisrael hamitzbasa. Gather all of Klal Yisrael to mitzvah ve'espalel ba'adchem al Hashem, and I'll daven on your behalf to Hashem. And the Radak mentions, it's a question exactly where the mitzvah is. There's a chazal that says mitzvah was the place, Shiloh, that Shiloh Klal Yisrael had gathered for hundreds of years. Mishkan Shiloh was 369 years, and they had been gathering there and serving Hashem. So they gathered to mitzvah, to this place to serve Hashem again. But the Radak brings down a drasha, that is Shiloh mitzvah and mitzvah Shiloh. But what happened was, there was a strip of land that came out from the boundaries of Binyamin, which is where mitzvah was, and it went into the area of Yosef, and over there was Mishkan Shiloh. But the Radak says, he finds that difficult. Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed. It's not like the Beis HaMikdash where the Kedusha remains. As Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed from the time that the Aron was taken by the Plishtim. And at that point, afterwards, the Mishkan was transported to Nov. We'll see, though, we'll learn later on. It was in a place, Nov. And even though, so the Aron Kodesh was now, the Aron was in Kiryas Yearim, but the Mizbeach and the Mishkan was in the city, Nov. So exactly where mitzvah fits in, the Radak doesn't know exactly. To say mitzvah Shiloh, he finds problematic. But mitzvah was a place where Klal Yisrael gathered for Avodas Hashem, and Shmuel said they should all gather there and he'll daven for them. Vayikovtzu hamitzbasa. So they gathered to mitzvah. Vayishavu mayim, and they drew water. And drawing water by itself is an expression you find like by Simchas Beis HaShoevu, Shavta Mayim Sason. They say they drew Ruach HaKadosh, they drew from wellsprings of Torah. But then the Pasuk says, Vayishpachu Lifnei Hashem, they spilled out the water Lifnei Hashem, which is an unusual expression. What does it mean, they spilled out water? On the simple meaning, it can mean that they were acknowledging that normally, I say when people would bring a korban, they would think their whole life, they'd like to give up their life for Hashem, to show that everything they have should be for Hashem, and they would take an animal or a bird, they would take a korban and feel that when that animal is shechted, it's as if their life is given. And everything that's done with the korban is as if it's done to them. They want to do an action to show like they're totally giving themselves over to Hashem. By water could be the significance is that water is sort of the cheap, on one hand it's of course the most important thing. A person needs a needs water more than food or more than any other drink. On the other hand, it's cheap. It's water's all over, and it's, in a certain sense, it's the least significant. It's just simple water. Spilling out the water is to show we feel like we're like water, like worthless. And our doing tshuva, acknowledging, taking an action to show that we're insignificant like water, and that's what they're pouring out before Hashem. Rashi brings down the Chazal that they spilled out their hearts. Shivchi kamayim libeich. They spilled out water is a way of mentioning that they spilled out their hearts and they cried before Hashem. And again, what's so interesting is it wasn't like a tragedy or something like nowadays. Klal Yisrael gets Yisairus and they daven, and the way Klal Yisrael is nowadays is a tremendous limud zechus that Klal Yisrael knows how to get together and bring miratza Kadosh Baruch Hu during difficult times. But Bizman and Nevi'im, you see, even much, much, much greater, that they can get inspiration over events that were 20 years ago and earlier. In other words, the fact that everything that happened in the Aron, they felt the Hisayus of Tshuva, but it wasn't like anything happened yesterday. They got together and they sincerely decided that's it, they really have to change their life. And they, under the guidance of Shmuel, they did. And they spilled out the water, Vayotsumu Bayomahu, and they fasted on that day. Vayom Rusham, and they said there, Chatanu Lashem, we sin to Hashem. Chazal bring down, Vayishpoit Shmuel as Bnei Yisrael b'mitzvah. Shmuel judged Klal Yisrael in the place mitzvah where they had gathered. The simple meaning is they did tshuva, they straightened out, Bein Odom Lamokoyim, with Averis they were aware of. And then Shmuel, after the people did what they were able to do, Shmuel judged them and he pointed out other Averis that they did, they perhaps they weren't aware of. Could be Shmuel took care of the Bein Odom Lechaveroi, that they should have completely be rectified, and that they should be completely able to serve Hashem and remove the past Averis. Chazal bring down that Shmuel took up the cause of Klal Yisrael, and he said as follows, Ribon Kol Olamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the master of all the worlds, Klum Ata Tovea Min HaAdam Ela Sheyomer Lefanecha Chatasi. All you want from a person is that when he does wrong, he should acknowledge it and say Chatasi. And of course it's understood, and as he says Chatasi, and he's obviously plans to correct himself in the future, otherwise it's just a joke, you know, say Chatasi. You know, but the point is a person should acknowledge that he did wrong. V'Yisrael Oymrim Lefanecha Chatanu. And here it says Vayomer Shem Chatanu Hashem. They acknowledge that they sinned. Iyata moichalahem. You're not going to forgive them. In fact, the Sefer Chassidim brings down that that's the derech of every Novi. That first he teaches the people to do tshuva, like Shmuel did. In other words, he worked with the people. It was a 20-year work. And then he brought them together. And you can imagine the drushes that went on, you know, whatever. They were inspired that they fasted and they spilled out either their hearts like water or they physically showed by spilling the water. Then after Shmuel corrected the people, then he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, see how Klal Yisrael's improved themselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should shower them with the brachas and save them. And so he judged, he took up their cause before Hashem by mitzvah. I saw an interesting pshat in Me'am Loes. It's on spilling out the water. He says as follows: Kol tipa shel itzanus shenichnasim b'leiv yotzim kenegda tipa shel divrei Torah. It's a difficult thing to stand by, a powerful musar. But what he says is whatever a person absorbs within himself, there's just a limit for so much in a person's body. It's either got Torah or it's got nonsense. It's got leitzanus. It's got detrimental influences, which is something nowadays that, of course, is very difficult with the media and the papers and the radios and everything. A person's bombarded with all types of things that he shouldn't see and he shouldn't hear, which they probably didn't have in the shtetlach in Europe. But when they spilled out the water, they were showing like we've absorbed every drop of of Leitzonis, every drop of bad is taking away a drop of Torah. And they spilled out the water as if to say, we're getting rid of the dirty stuff, we're getting rid of the water, and we're going to make room again to renew ourselves in Avodas Hashem. Vayishmu plishtim. The plishtim heard. Ki skabtsu v'nei Yisrael ha-mitzvah, that Klal Yisrael gathered to mitzvah. Vayalu sarnei plishtim ol Yisrael. So the governors of the plishtim went up to see exactly what's happening. Officially, in our, they had sent back the Aron because of their suffering, but the last war, the plishtim had won. And our, they felt comfortable, you know, the leaders went over to Eretz Yisrael to see exactly what's going on. Vayishbu b'nei Yisrael, vayishmu b'nei Yisrael heard, vayiru mipnei plishtim. And they were afraid of the plishtim. This is one of the beautiful examples that everybody has their thoughts of what's supposed to happen, what's going on, and they're all wrong. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his plans. The plishtim thought Klal Yisrael were gathering together to make war. What's all of a sudden? There's tremendous throngs of people gathering to mitzvah. Like, what's going on all of a sudden? So they were figuring it's probably a rebellion, which we'll see they mobilized for war. So the plishtim thought the Yidden were going to rebel. On the other hand, the Yidden were aware of the fact that the plishtim were coming to check up on things. So now they were afraid of the plishtim, that the plishtim figured it's where the plishtim are going to go to war. The truth is, what was happening now was not that Klal Yisrael was going to rebel, and it wasn't like the plishtim were going to attack Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael would suffer a defeat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked it all out, that since they did tshuva and they improved themselves, now the plishtim are going to be destroyed, or at least defeated. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked this all out. The plishtim were not going to win the war. Klal Yisrael shouldn't be afraid. There was no rebellion. The plishtim are going to have their downfall. Vayomru v'nei Yisrael el Shmuel. The b'nei Yisrael said to Shmuel, Al tachresh mimenu. Don't be quiet from us. Mizoik el Hashem elokeinu. From crying out to Hashem. Our Shmuel had said, if you do tshuva, I'll daven for you. So they turned to Shmuel and they said, they realized it's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmuel, don't refrain now from davening. V'yoshienu miyad plishtim. And he should save us from the plishtim. When Klal Yisrael didn't have rain, they used to, it's brought down in Maseches Tainis, they used to initiate different series of fast days. They'd fast for a group of three fast days, and then more fasts, and more fasts. When, at the most severest stage, they added extra brachos into Shemone Esrei. They added extra tefilos. One of the brachos was, Misha Ana Shmuel Ba Mitzvah. We say a similar expression in Slichas. Misha Ana Shmuel Ba Mitzvah, the one who answered Shmuel in Mitzvah, who Yaneschem, he should answer you, V'yishma Kol Tzakaschem, and he should hear the sound of your cry to him today, Baruch Atah Hashem, it was Shemei Tzaoka. It was a bracha in their Shemone Esrei. Interestingly, the Gemara mentions there's a debate whether you mention Tzaoka in regard to Shmuel, that Shmuel cried out, because we're going to see in the next pasuk when Shmuel davened to Hashem, Mizoik el Hashem Elokeinu, and says Vayizak Shmuel. Shmuel cried out. That was the manner of his davening. And if you looked earlier in pasuk Hey, Shmuel mentioned, gather everyone to mitzvah v'espalel. So you find a lashon of tefillah. So there's a lashon of tefillah, there's a lashon of tzaoka, of crying out. Both of those expressions of davening were used by Shmuel. And this is the example where we see that as Shmuel was answered in a miraculous way, and it's a zechus for Klal Yisrael that we mentioned when we're going through an eis tzara, when it's a fast day, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer us like he answered Shmuel. Vayikach Shmuel tlei cholav echad. Shmuel took a young sheep that was still nursing. Chazal medayik, very often the animal would be nursing when it was brought as a korban. But here it's mashma, it was very young. Or it could be it was even mechusar zman, the animal was brought before it was of age to be normally brought as a korban. But this wasn't the Beis HaMikdash, this was a bama, and Shmuel brought this korban. Vayaleyu oila kolil Hashem. And he brought it up as an oila completely. Normally the skin was removed from the animal. Here he brought up the korban completely, Lashem. Vayizak Shmuel al Hashem ba'ad Yisrael. And Chazal are also medayik. It says Vayalehu is written in a manner, you can read it Vayalo, that he brought up the animal as if it would be a Nekeva animal, which is normally not brought as an Ola. Female animal is not brought as a Korban Ola. But here we find, right after Mishkan Shiloh, certain Korbanos that normally would not be allowed in the Beis HaMikdash, like to bring an Ola from a Nekeva animal, or to bring it up, totally certain exceptions were made by Obama, because we are now entering the era where Klal Yisrael was allowed again to bring a korban on a bama, on their private altar in their backyard. Shmuel brought up this oila, Vayizak Shmuel el Hashem b'ad Yisrael, and Shmuel cried out to Hashem on behalf of Klal Yisrael, Vayaneu Hashem, and Hashem answered him. Vayihi Shmuel ma'le ha'oila. Shmuel was bringing up the korban oila. Uflishtim nigshu, and the plishtim came close, la milchoma b'Yisrael, to make a war against Klal Yisrael. Vayareim Hashem b'kol gadol, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu thundered at the plishtim with a tremendous noise. Vayomahu on that day, ala plishtim on the plishtim, vayihumeim, and they were all confounded, they were all confused. Vayinogfu lifnei Yisrael, and they were struck before Klal Yisrael. And the Malba mentions, like it says in the Torah, the Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayishma Sakoil Midaber Eilov, Moshe Rabbeinu heard the sound speaking to him. And the Chazal say, what's the sound? The sound was Midaber Eilov, it was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning it went to Moshe, and anybody else in the vicinity did not hear. Vayihi Shmuel Ma Leha Oila. Shmuel was bringing up the Korban Oila. Uflishtim Nigshu, and the Plishtim came close, La milchoma b'Yisrael, to make a war against Klal Yisrael. Vayareim Hashem b'kol gadol, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu thundered at the plishtim with a tremendous noise. Vayomahu on that day, ala plishtim on the plishtim, vayihumeim, and they were all confounded, they were all confused. Vayinogfu lifnei Yisrael, and they were struck before Klal Yisrael. And the Malba mentions, like it says in the Torah, the Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayishma Sakoil Midaber Eilov, Moshe Rabbeinu heard the sound speaking to him. And the Chazal say, what's the sound? The sound was Midaber Eilov, it was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning it went to Moshe, and anybody else in the vicinity did not hear it. You would think that it was a quiet sound. So on that we know, Koil, Koil Hashem Shoivir Arozim, Koil Hashem Yochel Ayolos, the sound of Hashem is a mighty, mighty powerful sound. So it was a powerful sound that Moshe Rabbeinu heard, and yet nobody else heard a thing. Over here, this tremendous sound, the plishtim heard the tremendous thunder. Moshe Kleistral didn't hear it, but it was the tremendous sound directed specifically to the plishtim to scare them, and they went running. Vayinogfu lifnei Yisrael. So Kleistral didn't have to fight them. They were on the run. Vayetzu Anshei Yisrael min haMitzpah. So the Anshei Yisrael went out from Mitzpah. Vayirdefu es Plishtim, and they chased after the Plishtim. Vayakum, and they struck the Plishtim ad mitachas leBeis Kor, up to a place below Beis Kor. Vayikach Shmuel Even Achas. Shmuel took one stone. Vayosem bein haMitzpah uvein haShein, and he situated it between the mitzvah, uvein hashen, must have been like a cliff or a rock that jutted out. Vayikra shmo even ha'ozer, and he called the stone, this place, even ha'ozer. Literally means the stone, ha'ozer, that helped. Meaning, vayoymar, he said, adhena azaronu Hashem, till this place, and this place was where the victory was, Hashem helped us to hear. This is where we won. Again, it was these things were, in other words, they had a victory, but they wanted to remember that it should go on and on. People should remember whenever they see that rock, whenever they come there, this is where Klal Yisrael was saved. Vayikonu haplishtim, the plishtim were humbled. V'lo yosvu od lovo bigvul Yisrael, and they didn't continue anymore entering the boundaries of Klal Yisrael. Vatihi yad Hashem baplishtim, and the hand of Hashem was against the plishtim, kol yimei Shmuel, all the days of Shmuel. In other words, the Plishtim themselves never stopped coming into Klal Yisrael's territory. They were afraid. They stayed away. And even if there were some Jews that wandered into their area or that went there, Vati Yad Hashem ba'Plishtim, the Yad Hashem was against the Plishtim, that if any Yidden initiated any skirmish or any battle, but the Yad Hashem was against the Plishtim, Kol Yemei Shmuel, all the days of Shmuel, and they didn't have to worry about the Plishtim for the rest of his life. Which was, Shmuel led Klal Yisrael for 11 years. Then we'll see, we had Shaul and David. Vatashovna ha'orim, the cities returned, Asher Lokhu Plishtim, the cities that the Plishtim had taken, Ne'es Yisrael, from Klal Yisrael, the Plishtim had taken over certain cities. And that return to Yisrael, to Klal Yisrael, Me'ekron Vad Gaz, from Ekron to Gaz, Ve'eskevulon, the surrounding areas, Hitzel Yisrael Miyad Plishtim, Klal Yisrael saved from the Plishtim, Vayehi Shalom Ve'en Yisrael Uvein Ho'emoyri, there was peace between Yisrael and the Amori. It's interesting to note, it's like nowadays, it's very reminiscent of nowadays, but what happened was, the Plishtim finally suffered their downfall. Once the Plishtim suffered their downfall, and people realized that Klal Yisrael is strong, and Hashem is on their side, now already there was Shalom Bein Yisrael Uvein Ha'amayri. When Klal Yisrael's got the upper hand, there can be peace. If the Goyim think that they have the upper hand, then there's not going to be peace. But even the Amayri now realized, that's it. Klal Yisrael is victorious, so there was peace. Vayishpot Shmuel es Yisrael. Shmuel judged Klal Yisrael kol yimei chayav, all the days of his life. There are basically two roles of a shofet. The judges of Klal Yisrael had two roles. They were the leader of Klal Yisrael against the Goyim. Usually what happened was that Klal Yisrael was suffering from some Goyish leader and the enemies, and the shofet would arise and he'd mobilize the people and they'd go to war. And at the same time, the shofet was the one who judged the people and corrected them in Avodas Hashem. It was a different function, we'll see later. During the kings, the king was the leader who helped Klal Yisrael fight their wars. A lot of the kings were very good, tremendous tzaddikim, but there were kings who were very bad. It was the very fact that he's the leader, nobody's above him, it leads that can either be very good or very bad, and there were some that were, I guess, in the middle, but very often you had extremes. You'd have a tremendous tzaddik followed by a tremendous rasha. But that was with the kings. With the shoftim were all tzaddikim. It didn't go father to son. It was the shofet was the one who was chosen because he should be the leader of Klal Yisrael. And even some shoftim that were not as great as others, like Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmuel Bedoro, sometimes Klal Yisrael, Hashem would choose a shofet who possibly wasn't the greatest, but just the zchus of Klal Yisrael was able to tolerate that even if the figurehead wasn't the greatest. It wasn't like Shmuel Bedoro. But the function of the shofet was to correct the people and to judge them and to help them serve Hashem. That's why even the Nevi'im have a sort of a different role. During the times of the shoftim, you don't find that much of the Nevi'im mentioned. The Nevi'im have basically come more into effect afterwards when they were kings who very often were not doing the right thing, and the Navi had the job of giving Musa and correcting them. But here Shmuel, you see, Shmuel is a Navi also, but Shmuel saved Klal Yisrael from the Goyim, and he fulfilled the other role also of Vayishpot Shmuel as Yisrael Kol Yimei Chayav. Shmuel judged Klal Yisrael all the days of his life. V'halach midei shana v'shana, he went year by year, v'savav v'seil v'hagilgol v'hamitzvah, and he had a circuitous route. He traveled around from Beisel to Gilgal and Mitzpah, v'shofet es Yisrael, and he judged Klal Yisrael, es kol ha'makom osa'il, in all of these places. U'seshuvaso ha'ramasa kisham beiso, and then he returned to Ramah, because his house was there. V'sham shofet es Yisrael, and there he judged Klal Yisrael. You notice every pasuk it mentions a few times, it says, v'yishpot Shmuel es Yisrael, and v'shofet es Yisrael, and now again v'sham shofet es Yisrael, to mention wherever he went. I guess as a leader you don't have too much downtime. Wherever you go, you're working. That's never a vacation. So So he traveled around judging the people. That was his derech and avodas Hashem, which he's credited with as a tremendous. Not everyone's able to do that, but if somebody's a leader of Klal Yisrael and he has the koyches and he's able to travel around visiting the people and correcting them, it's a tremendous zechus that Shmuel had. And when he came home, v'sham shofetes Yisrael, there he was. That was his headquarters, and there whoever had things to discuss, or if they were dinei Torah, any machleksin, he would judge Klal Yisrael. But even shom mizbeach Hashem, and he built there a mizbeach Hashem. There's a concept now that it's brought down on this pasuk. I say it's possible to sort of leave the perek at that, but it's such a tremendous subject that can be discussed at length that is learnt out from this pasuk. The Gemara says in Brachas on Yudam and Beis, Haroitze lehanos, if somebody wants to have benefit from others, if you want to have hana, yene kelisha, you're allowed to have hana, like Elisha Hanavi had hana from Klal Yisrael. It says by Elisha he used to travel around, and one of the places he used to go was to a woman, Inisha Shunamis, and a woman, and she realized that he was Isha Elokim Kodoshu, he was a holy person, and she told her husband, let's make a room, and we'll put over there a bed, and there'll be a menoira, and there'll be a chair, and mita v'shulchan v'kisei menoira. What do we leave out? A bed, a table, a chair, and a menoira. Those four items. We'll have that in his little room, and whenever he travels around, he can come and stay there. Chazal learned out from there that if somebody wants to conduct himself like Elisha, he could. As a person's allowed to have hano from Klal Yisrael, Elisha traveled around, he had hano. B'she'ena rotzele hanos al yene kishmul haramosi. And if somebody does not want to have hano from Klal Yisrael, he doesn't have to. Like Shmuel, shenemar, and this is the pasuk brought, u'seshuvaso haramosa kisham beiso, that Shmuel traveled all around, and he returned to Ramah kisham beiso. If you wanted to tell me he returned to his house in Ramah, it should say u'seshuvaso lebeiso haramosa. He returned to his house in Ramah. I mean, he returned to Ramah because his house was there. It's a very verbose expression. He returned to Ramah because his house was there. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan is medayik, shekol makom shehalach sham, beiso imo. It doesn't mean his house was in Ramah. He traveled all around the country and then he returned to Ramah, kisham beiso, because there was his house. Where? It was in Beisel, it was in Mitzvah, it was in every place that he went to, and in Ramah also. But he, wherever he went, he traveled with his house. So you find that the person can have on Hoga that he doesn't want to have a benefit from anyone else. And Rashi says, if a guy wants to have Hanor from others, Yena he could have Hanor. V'nisar b'dover, it's not Osir. It's not Osir for somebody to have Hanor from others, like Elisha. And if somebody wants not to have Hanor, he doesn't have to. And Rashi says, V'ein b'dover, lo mishum gasus ruach. You might think it's like gaiva. How's he get insulted? You know, somebody comes to town and you ask him, where are you staying? And he says, no problem, he's got his tent. He's staying in the public square. He's got a tent and he's got all of his servants and he's got all of his dishes and he can cook. He doesn't want to go into anyone's house. You say, why? You don't eat from my food? You know? Tea's not kosher. You don't eat from my food? But no, there's no problem of gasus haruach, of gaiva, like I think the person feels he's haughty, he can't rely, he doesn't want to benefit from anyone, below mishum sina, and it shouldn't engender any hatred, just like you find by Shmuel. And Rashi explains, wherever he went, shama yenose kol klei tashmishe bayis imo, he carried with him all of the things that he would need in his house, v'oil chan yose with his tent, that he bedafka didn't want to have hano from others. It's interesting. I say there's a lot to say on this subject. The Marsha asks that how can you say a person's allowed to have hano like Elisha did? He says you find throughout the kosher lechayra, because in many places Chazal said that a person shouldn't have honor from others, like Soini Matanos Yichya says, if a person hates getting presents from others, he'll live, or as a person shouldn't want to get from others. So how could it be that there's nothing wrong to have honor like Elisha? So the Marsha explains that there's two different types of hanoah. There's the hanoah that somebody gives sort of like tzedakah, like charity, and if a person doesn't need it, he's not supposed to take it. Then there's the hanoah of somebody like Elisha, that we all know gemilas chasadim, gemilas chesed, applies whether a person is rich or whether he's poor. So he writes the mitzvah of hachnosas orchim, which is the greatest component of gemilas chesed, and that's even for a wealthy person. So if a person's traveling around like Elisha, and somebody makes a room for Elisha and he stays there, it's not called like having an unusual hana that you might feel it should go under Sonei Matanos Yichya. Even a wealthy person, when he's away from home, he needs a place to stay. So hachnosas orchim, which is even for the wealthy, therefore there's no problem for a person to, like Elisha, who's traveling around, to be put up somewhere and stay there. Of course he doesn't have to, like Shmuel didn't brought his house with him, but there's not a problem. The problem would be if somebody is receiving it as a form of tzedakah and he doesn't need it, that's what wouldn't be allowed. The Rambam says, a famous Rambam that was a major controversy, but in Pirkei Avos, in the fourth perek on the mission of a lokardum lachbarboy, that a person can't make the Torah into a shovel to dig with, the Rambam has a long elaboration about the fact that somebody who's a chacham in Klal Yisrael, or somebody who wants to learn Torah, is not allowed to use the Torah to make a parnasa, which we all know, which is the Rambam lived by his word. And when he was younger, his brother, he had an arrangement with his brother. His brother was the businessman, and the Rambam was able to sit and learn, but then his brother was nifter, the boat sank, and the Rambam was on his own, so the Rambam went into medicine, which he did well. The Rambam brings many examples where we see the Chachmei Yisrael Bedafka did not benefit from others. The famous story that Hillel was a chopped wood and one day he didn't have enough, and he went to sleep, enough money to pay for the Beis Medrash, and he went to sleep on the skylight so he could hear the words of Torah. He went to lie on the skylight and listen into the words of Torah, and he fell asleep, and we're all familiar with that story. And there were many other examples. There's a story in the Dorim, the Rambam brings down, that Reb Tarfon was once there was a person who owned a field, and people were stealing his produce. He noticed on a regular basis, every day there was less and less fruits available. Somebody was definitely taking the stuff. At the end of the harvest, there was a little bit of fruit that remained as hefker. Nobody really cares about it. At that point, Reb Tarfon was near the field, and he decided to go in and take some of that hefker produce. Anyways, it was his luck, you know. The successful ganef is usually the one who's not caught. It's the guy who's not good at stealing. And sure enough, Reb Tarfon decided to take this hefker produce, which he was allowed, but he went to take it, and the owner was there at the time, and he figured, oh, this must be the guy who's been stealing my produce all along. So he took Reb Tarfon, threw him into a bag, flung the bag over his shoulder, and was ready to throw Reb Tarfon and the bag into the river. Until Reb Tarfon, who was inside the bag, of course, the owner couldn't see who was in the bag. But Reb Tarfon mentioned, oh, Tarfon's about to be killed over this. The Baal HaKerem, the one with the vineyard, realized that Reb Tarfon was in the bag, and immediately left the bag and let Reb Tarfon go free. For the rest of his life, Reb Tarfon felt bad. Why did he save himself by mentioning that he was Tarfon, and mentioning that he was Reb Tarfon saved his life? A Talmud Chacham shouldn't have any hanaf from the learning, and here he had hanaf from the fact that he was the Gadol Vatorah that he was. The Rambam discusses this also in Hilchas Talmud Torah. And over there, the Kesef Mishnah, in a long rebuttal, argues with the Rambam
And basically he says that even if the Rambam is correct in the pshat of the Mishnah that you're not allowed to have hana from Divrei Torah, on a practical level, we all know that even the Gedolim who were supported and learned day and night, it's a special siyata d'shmaya. It's a miracle that they were able to learn what they were able to learn. There's no end to the Torah that needs to be learned. And if a Talmud Chacham is going to be required to take out time to earn a parnasa, he won't be able to develop the greatness and Torah that we all need. And therefore the Kesef Mishnah writes that certainly a person is allowed to accept money and he's allowed to be supported in order to be able to learn. Rabbi Tarfon felt bad that he identified himself as Rabbi Tarfon, because Rabbi Tarfon was a very wealthy man. And if he would have just called out from the bag, I'm willing to pay the ransom and I'll pay you a fortune for whatever payros you, whatever fruit might have been stolen, certainly the Baal, the owner of the orchard, the Baal HaKerem, or the Pardes, would have certainly been happy to let Rabbi Tarfon go free for a price. And if somebody has the ability to pay his own way, he shouldn't take. He shouldn't be supported. Hillel, well, you know, was a wood chopper. The Kesef Mishnah said that was probably before he became famous as the Nossi in Klal Yisrael. Once he was the leader of Klal Yisrael, we can assume that he was supported by the community. And that's what we're seeing over here. In other words, by Elisha, Harotzeli Hanos Yenek Elisha, doesn't have to be necessarily like the Marsha says, only if somebody's traveling as Hachnosas Orchim, since Hachnosas Orchim is such a tremendous mitzvah, so he can accept, you know, a place of lodging. The Rambam understands the example with Elisha that certainly he wouldn't have asked for money or received support, but again, traveling around, he was given a room and a place to stay. But the Kesef Mishnah holds that really, Harotzeli Hanos Yenek Elisha could be even on a wider scale, and it means that a person is allowed to have Hano if the other people are willing to support, and Klal Yisrael is eager to have Talmid Chachamim, that they have the Zechus to support. But the one who doesn't want to be supported is certainly also Varotza, not to have Hana like Shmuel HaRamasi, is also a proper derech in Avodas Hashem. Interestingly enough, there are other factors to take into consideration. The Gemara in Chulin on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph mentions that Reb Zera would accept gifts from others with a sevara that Isyakuri Kam Isyaker Bi, that they're honoring themselves by me. Meaning that for some people it's an honor, the fact that they're able to give the money directly to the Gadol, to the Tzaddik, to a Reb Zera. As we know, very often a person goes to an Adam Gadol and he's only too happy to know that this money he's able to give directly to the Tzaddik and to the Gadol. Certainly in the case of Elisha, who was traveling around and he was a Navi and he was going to help out Klal Yisrael, it was the honor of the Isha Shunamis that Elisha stayed by them. And he wasn't even going for his own good, he was going to help out Klal Yisrael. Certainly he was allowed to be supported and cared for by others. The question is, why didn't Elisha learn out from Shmuel the example of how to conduct oneself? It was a valid approach, but we know from Shmuel didn't want to accept anything, and yet Elisha did accept. The Ben Yoyada has a very interesting explanation, and he also points out when the Gemara discusses about Elisha deriving benefit, it's not learnt out from the words of the pasuk Nasa no alias kir ketana, to make a small room. The fact that they made him a room was not how you see that you could have hana. The fact you could see Avano is from the fact that they said Vinosim lo sham mito v'shulchan, will give him a bed and a table, v'kisei a chair, u'menoira, and a candelabra, a menoira to provide light. That was where you see you could have Hanoah. And he basically writes that if the people are giving it wholeheartedly, the Chacham is allowed to accept. While if the people do not want to give him, he should not accept. How do you know if the people really want to give? The answer is if they do more than the minimum. The fact that they gave him a room could be they wanted to hit their privacy and they didn't want Elisha living with them, so they made him a room for himself. That doesn't show that they wanted to take care of him. But when there was a furnished apartment and he didn't just have to put a sleeping bag on the floor, but it was had the table and the chair and all the basic necessities, that showed that they wanted to take care of him properly, and therefore Elisha accepted it. Shmuel didn't accept it because Shmuel was a shofet, and he traveled around Klal Yisrael from one place to another, judging between people, and therefore he didn't want to get favors from people, that there should be a problem of shochad, of like a bribery, if somebody gave him a present and then later on might come for a din Torah and he wouldn't be able to judge it. Therefore Shmuel went to the extreme and he did not have Hanoah. I saw another explanation from Rav Eliezer Ginsburg, who has a Sfarim explaining Agadata, and he writes that the B'nai Eli's chait, their sin, was that they took what they weren't supposed to, perhaps it wasn't in the proper manner that they were taking the gifts, and therefore since they made the mistake of taking what they shouldn't have and taking it in the wrong manner, and it created a negative feeling among the people toward the Avdei Hashem, the Oivdei Hashem. Therefore Shmuel went to the other extreme, and Shmuel didn't want to take anything, even what normally should be allowed, what's basic Achnasas Orchim, Shmuel didn't want to accept. He went to the other extreme, Usishuvoso Haramosa Kishom Beisoi. He traveled from one place to another and he returned to Ramah Kishom Beisoi. But his house, that's where his house was. In every place his house was there. He had his cooks, his bakers, his tents. All of his needs were provided for. He didn't have to rely on the tzibur. And later on, he was able to say to the people, I didn't take anything that was yours. I did my serving of Hashem, l'shem shamayim, not for any profit. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.